the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Good evening, everybody. Hello. Perhaps you could hold some of those things that you have been talking about in mind as we go along. You should know mine, which I've shared with Josh and Laura, which is that I was due to speak at a weekend away for Plimstock Chapel, which is just outside Plymouth. I was due to go on it, and my car broke down, and I couldn't get on this weekend away. The leaders were anxious that they wouldn't have a speaker as bad as he was, so they nipped round, picked me up, and took me on this weekend away. But their gift afterwards was a full clutch replacement for my Renault Clio. So that always sticks in my mind. Plimstock Chapel, that's what I think about when I think about service. I wonder who you think about. Hopefully you've been having those conversations. I thought we could begin with a story. So this is Richie. He's there on the right, and he spent the entirety of his working life at the original Beef of Chicagoland. It's a beat-up, scruffy sandwich shop in downtown Chicago. The premise of this story is pretty simple. Its new owner says they are now going to become a Michelin-starred restaurant, renamed not the Beef, but the Bear. This is the story, a TV series which has won a number of Emmys and Golden Globes and so on. Richie's transformation in this story captures my heart and my imagination as someone who's transformed by service, and I want to tell you his story. So Richie's been charged with being front of house for this new fine dining experience. The first few attempts have been absolutely disastrous. You can imagine going from a worn-down but well-loved sandwich shop with its locals, its bawdy humour and so on, to trying to be a fine dining Michelin-starred restaurant. So Richie is now, he's cynical, he's lost and he's empty, so he's sent to train at another Michelin-starred restaurant. He's sent as a stage, they call it, or a trainee. He's an unpaid intern at this fine dining establishment. And when he arrives, he's given the very menial task of polishing forks. It's his job to polish the forks and make sure there's no streaks in them. And you follow Richie day after day as he is polishing forks in this Michelin-starred restaurant. As he's doing it, you get the distinct impression that he is feeling thoroughly out of place. And as he looks at the other staff in the restaurant, he's mystified at the precision and the care and the pride that they take in their work. However, over the course of the episode, Richie undergoes this profound transformation as he begins to discover a deeper meaning to service. And a particular scene that I wanted to bring to you is this one. We meet him here about halfway through his training. It's on screen at the moment. He's alongside the head chef of the Michelin-starred restaurant. So we have our stage, our trainee, and they're alongside the head chef of the Michelin-starred restaurant. This is Chef Terry. Here she is. She's played by Olivia Colman. And Chef Terry is peeling mushrooms for the Lamb de Tournelle. Why? Why is the head chef in the belly of the kitchen now peeling mushrooms? Richie asks her, surely you have stooges to do this for you. Surely you have underlings who can get this work done for you. Her reply, it's just a nice little fun detail so that when the diners see it, they know that someone spent a lot of time on their dish. And so Richie gets to thinking, whether it's peeling mushrooms or polishing forks, this prompts some questions in Richie's mind. And we have this lovely scene. It's the two of them talking together for about 5 minutes or so. It's quite slow. It's quite intimate. People are genuinely listening to one another and they're engaged in this act of service. And as they're doing this, Richie asks her, "Why do you do this?" And her answer is, "Time spent doing this is time well spent." Time spent doing this, peeling mushrooms, polishing forks, is time well spent. And I wanted to use that as a way in to getting into John chapter 13 this evening. We're going to return to Richie a little bit later, don't worry, because I'm sure you're all itching to know how it ends for him. But perhaps as you've had those conversations, they were great fun, weren't they, as we were thinking about receiving Christian service, I wonder if we could just run through them in our minds and just apply that criteria of, do we think this is time well spent? Time spent cold in the river baptizing the youth, is that time well spent? My mind's gone blank on what. So receiving the babysitter invitation for that lady, is that time well spent? And what was our having our friend from our youth group come and spend time in the house for the whole week while you're poorly, is that time well spent? I think the big answer, of course, from John chapter 13 and Jesus washing the disciples' feet is incredibly, incredibly, deeply challenging, because the Lord is both showing us in action and words that time spent in service of one another is time well spent. That's where real value is. And that's the way the world really works. And that's what really matters. We have this wonderful scene of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And the words and actions of Jesus at this meal, they went deep into the heart and mind of one person who was present. And that was the Apostle John, who saw fit to pen this. We don't find it in the other Gospels. It clearly made a deep impression on John. The beloved disciple, the Gospel writer, the Apostle John, he was one person for whom this went deep into his soul. John's account of the supper, of this last meal, it stretches right from John chapter 13 all the way through to the end of John 17. But it all begins with this one scene. This is what kicks it off. And I believe it is the opening up of a new worldview where the washing of feet is time well spent. So I wanted just to explore first with us why that might be. Nietzsche absolutely hated stuff like this. It made him so angry. It made him so cross. Because here, very, very clearly and demonstrably, you've got the inversion of power and strength ways of thinking, which are pretty common out there in our world at the moment. I'm sorry to embarrass you, I'm just terrified it might be me. It made him absolutely furious. He would look at something like this, which is the key central, you know, it exhibits aspects of the cross, the value of service. He looked at all of that and he called it and dismissed it as slave morality. It just made him so cross. But what I want to suggest to you that this is time well spent. In fact, actually pause there. Christianity amongst the world religions promotes service. We're not unique as those who think service is a good thing. You're going to find that commended to you in Islam. You're going to find that commended to you in Buddhism. But what I want to draw us to is what is really unique is this idea. And this is a quote. I've just tried to summarize it as best as I know how. I think what's unique to Christian service is that this is time well spent, because service is a beautiful and tender aspect of God's heart of God's character now revealed to us in Christ. What's unique about Christian service is that God is a servant. God has come in Christ as a servant. And that is a profoundly different way to view God. We probably hear it quite often. We sing it quite often, and so we should. But just let it hit you afresh. God the Almighty, the Eternal, the Immortal, Unchanging God has come to us in Christ as a servant. We could go so many different places in the scriptures to see that, and it certainly isn't unique to John's gospel. I am among you as one who serves, says Jesus. Or from Mark, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Or this one, which I think really captures a lovely aspect of service as it relates to the Lord's service of his people. From the tail end of his teaching in Luke 12, it'll be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve. That's the master is going to dress himself to serve, take on the garb of a servant. He'll have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. And I say all this just to highlight for us that service for us is time well spent because God identifies with the servant. When he reveals himself to his people, he comes as a servant. So, casting our eyes down on John 13 here, I think we could do well just to split it into two. The first part I would call being served by Jesus, verses 1 to 11. The second, serving others in the way of Jesus, verses 12 to 17. So thank you for your conversation with one another. I'd like to re-engage on that now, actually. So we've had the passage beautifully read to us. So what I would like us to do is to ask some questions of one another related to being served by Jesus, this first aspect. So could we take some moments? I won't ask for feedback because we've done a bit of that already, but just could you take some moments now to talk about this with one another? What do you make of Jesus' insistence? We heard it lovely because of the three voices in our reading. His insistence that he wash Peter's feet in verse 8. And or do you find, actually I really would like you to get to this, do you find being served challenging? And why might that be? Are you happy to have a go at those? Go for it. Have some conversations and see how you do. Okay, folks, I think it's, at least when I put myself in the shoes of Peter, I think it's very understandable. Now, I don't claim to be knowing what's going on in Peter's mind, but I think this would be my take. I think it's a reasonable guess that there's some combination both of pride and of shame, kind of at the very same time. So Peter didn't seem to mind Jesus washing the other disciples' feet. Well, those guys, you know, they probably need this, you know. Maybe it wasn't hard for Peter to see that they were in need. Strikes me as potentially a Peter characteristic and one I would recognise in myself. But having Jesus kneel before him as a servant, after knowing him as Lord and Master, which he seems to be very much okay with those categories, Lord and Master. But it's this new category of receiving service from Jesus was something quite different. And for Peter, even at that moment, something intolerable. I'm sure Peter, like most of us, would probably rather figure out some way of cleaning yourself up DIY. That's exactly what I do. So I know myself, my own instinct, when sins and failures compound, my instinct would be to get my head down and go it alone. It's the point at which you don't ask for help, which you don't confess, which you don't show yourself to be in need, but you double down on doing it all yourself. Get your head down and get through. Don't make a scene. Don't acknowledge need or weakness or sin. Don't ask for help or directions, but just solve it by your own means. And Jesus here just insists that we accept him for who he is, as the God who kneels before us in love and humility to cleanse, forgive, and restore us. There is then something embedded in this term servant. Is just that simple idea, probably, that I'm not my own. I'm a servant of another. I belong to another. And I think that could be at the root of what Peter is finding so tricky to grapple with. So let's move on then and take a think about this second aspect of John 13. Here's what I would like to do to take this further. I've done some studying and some reading in the week, but I'd never got a chance to read this book as... it's classic, kind of the way life goes and busyness. I listened to someone on a podcast about this book rather than read the book, which is terrible, terrible. This is one of those books that works, takes a theme and runs through the whole of Scripture, like we've been doing with Exile and Homecoming. But the theme this person has taken is the servant of the Lord and his servant people. And kind of the thesis of the book is that what we're looking at here in John 13 isn't entirely new. So throughout the scriptures, we're meeting individuals, think Moses, Joshua, David, who are set apart as this servant of the Lord character. And it is because of the good and faithful service of this servant of the Lord, which in turn then establishes a servant-like people. We could think of Moses, who's the servant of the Lord, who's bringing the people out to serve the Lord on the mountain. He's going, the servant of the Lord makes and establishes this servant people. So that's where I would like to take it next. If you're interested in homework, that's what I would like to do. And so we could see this elsewhere, perhaps to link up with some things we're thinking about in the morning and to link with last week. Regarding community. So our servant Lord is creating a servant community, a servant people. And that's how I want to link together with last week's talk on community. Time well spent, because the servant of the Lord is establishing this people. We could use Revelation 5:10. You've made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Now we want to come briefly to talk about the challenge of serving others. So let's, if you're happy, just to return to those conversations. Obviously, the next part of our passage in John 13 is serving in the way of Jesus. I love that question in the middle of, do you understand what I have done for you? Perhaps we could ask one another, why does Jesus ask this question, having washed the disciples' feet? Or another question, what do you find most challenging about serving others? Would that be okay? Take another few moments to have that conversation, and then I'll draw us back together to close with Richie. Okay, folks, sorry to interrupt. May we come back together. They sound like great conversations. Let's begin then. Just I'll give you something from me. The challenge for me to ask that question in serving others, something I've been reflecting on recently, would be listening. So really listening. And not interrupting and interjecting with what I want to say and my thought. That would be one aspect Another, honestly, when we look at a case like this, which washing the disciples' feet, I think the thing that terrifies me most is the really lowly aspects of this. I had in my phone, and I meant to call a friend who works in a care home to get, if you like, I'm a software salesperson in a tech company with really clean hands who gets coffee given to him and a fruit bowl and silly, you know, I'm served by this tech company and things like this. I'm very far removed from a coalface service. And I think I find aspects of this, the actual lowly part of this, which is clearly commanded and encouraged by the Lord to that lowly way in which we serve one another. I know I find this hard because in parenting, I've said to Claire, it is humiliating being a parent. And I think she corrected me and said, don't you mean humbling? And I think, no, I'm sticking with this is humiliating being a parent. So I would find this lowly aspect very challenging too. I want us to move us now to actually the last verse that we read, which is, having moved through this passage, and it's gone at a pace, and we haven't done it necessarily in detail, but now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. And I think that captures something of the blessing and the joy of service. So I want to return us to Richie. You remember Richie, who has come from the beef in Chicagoland, this beaten up sandwich shop, and he is now working in a Michelin-starred fine dining restaurant. And a pivotal moment comes when Richie he graduates from polishing forks, and he's allowed to serve one of the guests. He overhears a diner, a conversation on a table, saying that they missed out on eating the city's signature dish whilst they were in that city. This is Chicago. If you've ever gone to Chicago or someone's taken you to Chicago, they will have forced you to eat deep dish pizza. This is what this diner wishes they could have had, but they've missed out on it in their time in Chicago. Cue a scene in which Richie delivers this information to the kitchen, and he thinks that they are going to make that diner deep dish pizza. He is very mistaken. He is sent running to this pizza restaurant a couple of miles away to go pick up this pizza and run it back to the fine dining restaurant, where it is given this kind of surgical-like treatment in which it is turned from pizza in cardboard box into gourmet pizza, in which they've made these little circles and put on micro basil and little gel, and you know, it just looks beautiful. You know, they've made it absolutely beautiful. He has, in that moment, he's been anticipating need, creating joy, and making people feel seen. And what once seemed pointless and menial, like polishing forks, has become a metaphor for love and care and service in this new worldview, where time spent in service is time well spent. And I want you to return to those aspects of life in which you are serving, and just return to them this week with, is this time well spent? And if you're flagging on that, come back to John 13 and perhaps that question. Do you understand what I've done for you? And so Richie gives us this real insight into what it is to be transformed by service. And I wanted to show you some of his joy, because this is a gruff Chicago lout who's been transformed by service. And I wanted to show you some of his joy. So, Phil, please. Have you known the blessings of service? Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. Amen.